Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're tuning in to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen in Studio A, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, I hear we have some breaking news today.
Yes, we do, Mr. Allen, and it's sad in many respects. We've had a young woman, very young lady, teenager, set upon and beaten by a mob at North Commons Park, predicated on just terrible, terrible information. But what I want to do before I get into the specific details of why much of the information that had been admitted was inappropriate, I want to bring on our Mr. K.G. Wilson, who was at the scene with me. We both saw this confrontation. You could almost see it coming. Police had to open fire with tear gas and et cetera. Community activists, Alfred Flowers, as an example, was tear gas and possibly injured during the course of the police attempting to deal with the mayhem that was out there. But let's get K.G. Wilson on, Don.
Okay, we'd like to welcome community peace activist Mr. K.G. Wilson to the Ron and Don Show. K.G., how are you, sir?
I'm truly blessed. I'm truly blessed. Thank y'all for having me on, big brothers. I got much respect for both of y'all.
All right. K.G., can you walk us through the events that were witnessed about an hour ago at North Commons and what was supposed to be a vigil, a memorial, if you will, et cetera? Give us your unedited observations of what happened.
Okay, and I'm quite sure because you were there with me, big bro, they need to be similar. What I did notice was it was supposed to be a peaceful event, and I think that there were some things said there that probably shouldn't have been said that had nothing to do with a memorial peace vigil. I think that some of the speakers were speaking a little too long. I think they drawed it on, and it probably should have been said and done and should have been over, and everybody went home peaceful. But what I did notice was that as some of the speakers were speaking, I looked up and I saw a girl approach who I met at the last vigil, a friend of the victim, Nehemiah. And she had said that she was a close, close friend of him, and they did almost everything together. I only had that knowledge from hearing her saying it out of her mouth at the vigil that I did for the young man and the family and the community.
Well,
when I looked
up, correct,
sir?
Minister Wilson, that was Monday evening, your vigil?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, okay.
And so she approached me and told me.
For our listening audience, both domestically and internationally, we want to try to give that detail. Okay, and that was on Monday of this week. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And she approached me and let me know who she was. And then she spoke and let everybody know, and I don't know if they have a video up yet, of it, of her speaking, and she kind of snapped out on some of the people saying that they weren't really friends of our dear brother that we lost, this young brother that we lost, 17-year-old Nehemiah, and she was angry when she was speaking. I don't know if this what caused it today, but when I did look up, I saw one young lady come toward her, started throwing punches at her, then I saw about three or four more come. Then there was five to six or seven, as you saw, too, Mr. Edwards. And by this time, there was a mob, and they had this young girl on the ground. And by this time, it took a while for police to get over to them, but when they got over to them, they were trying to pull people off. There was, maybe 30 or more people.
Easily 30 individuals beating her. I thought
we
were on the verge of a lynching.
You couldn't even see the young girl anymore. President of Mad Dads, B.J. Smith, ran over there too to, I guess, try to see what he can do and get in there, and was sprayed in the face with mace. A couple of the police officers were sprayed in the face with mace. The camera woman for Channel 4 News, who was with reporter Reg Chapman, was sprayed in the face with mace so bad till she had to drop her camera. And news reporter Reg Chapman was carrying her camera, which is something I've never seen before. So a lot of other people were sprayed with mace.
Was it your feeling, sir, that, and I don't want to put any words in your mouth, that if a large contingent of police had not been there and additional police began to arrive, because it did turn into a mini riot, if the police had not been there, the young lady would have possibly been a fatality?
I truly believe that the violence and the anger and the rage and the that I saw them physically putting on this girl was probably would have been a fatality. The police had to break out riot guns. And
yes,
like I said, they sprayed so much mace, they sprayed their own officers.
Yeah. And we were outside. I mean, it was outside. You could still smell the pungent odor of the tear gas. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
We were right there, like 2 feet from it.
Yes, we were. Yeah.
Yes, sir. It was really just a disaster today. And like I said, I think that crowd control, not only like with police, but verbally, there has to be some type of crowd control. And when you're speaking, when one person speaks, before that person speaks and after that speaks, something has to be said to keep an angry crowd calm and peaceful. And I just did not see that today. And I'm sorry to see what happened today, because for a little while things seemed pretty like they were peaceful. But I kind of saw, I don't know if you did too, Mr. Edwards, things kind of escalating and a different crowd of people, of kids coming up that didn't have smiles on their faces, looking like they were coming to participate in anything peaceful, but to probably stir up and deal with their anger and their hurt through violence.
I fully concur, Minister, with your analysis, and I just think it was it's a tragedy, but it could have been even a more severe tragedy, because I strongly feel. And I was with him two or three feet.
Yes,
we were trying to pull Alfred Flowers, as we said, community activist, sprayed, may possibly have been injured. The minister is absolutely correct. There was a point in time as the police were waiting in that you could not see the young lady. She was being stomped and beaten. She was unconscious, if you will. I'm one of those that is a critic of Minneapolis Police Department on many occasions, but I have to say the officers handled the situation well, but it was so dangerous because they felt it necessary to bring out riot guns because of the fury of the crowd against one human being.
Yes, sir.
Anything else, Minister, that you can share with us, and what do you think will be the Minister and I, by the way, have talked privately about what really happened in the circumstances surrounding the death of the young man, Mr. Severson. But do you think that we can bring some semblance of peace if explanations are given and people are made to understand what really happened? Do you think there's a chance here? Or will we see retaliation?
You know me, I tell the truth. And as much as I hate to say this, there's going to be a retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be more bloodshed. There's going to be more tears to follow this. It's sad to say that, but because of the way it happened and who it happened to, this is going to happen. So this city needs to prepare for this. All I can say, Mr. Edwards, is that I'm going to keep praying like I've always done, and to ask publicly that our parents, please keep your children safe. Keep them in the house. There is not only because of this one, but there already has been a war that has stemmed from, this past winter that is still going on. But now this one is a different particular war here. And like I said, I'm really hurting and I'm saddened for, and I'm kind of concerned about the safety of our innocent children and our innocent seniors and innocent parents because of what's going to happen with the particular gang and clique wars that is going on and the retaliation that's going to go on behind this young man's death and his homicide.
Mr. Edwards and Mr. Wilson, I'm a little confused here because over the past 2 weeks, Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges has had a number of our black spokespersons in her office to form some kind of street patrol and put money and pay these pastors and these community activists to be out on the street to stem this kind of violence. And it seems now, again, that we're being reactionary instead of proactive. I mean, what's going on with that? I mean, it just, I'm confused.
Mr. Wilson, go ahead and answer that. I have plenty of time because I have the program.
Thank you
go
so
ahead
much.
And give your observation
Edwards,
on.
Thank you so much.
All right.
First, I want to say this. First, I want to say this for the record is me being in ministry, maybe not the particular ministry that these religious ministers are in, but I
in
do know well that. What? Excuse me.
No, I just said in the name. Go ahead, though.
Yes. Amen.
When
in the name.
Bring,
go ahead.
You have the church ministry, which is inside of the church building. And then, my dear brothers, you have your street ministry, which is outside of the church, which comes out on the church. Now, the church ministry that's in the building, you can get offering and tithe and maybe a stipend or whatever from your congregation for your ministry. But there is no money or payment for street ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm seeing with these ministers that's involved in this is that they have taken a street ministry, which is supposed to be for the people and from God, which is a voluntary act that is not a monetary gain, and it's never have been. I'll be 48 years old, and I've never seen it ever. And taking it and changed the name to Street Patrol. So when you change it to street patrol, you're able to be paid for something that you're really not supposed to be getting paid for. That is a religious volunteer act from ministers and pastors from these different churches. And so I'm seeing something that really disturbed me when I heard about that. I've been doing street ministry here for 10 years now. I know for a fact it's nothing that I'm supposed to be paid for or I expect to be paid for. It is a voluntary act that I do to try to save the lives of some of our people. None of us will ever save them all. That is not it. I'm not saying to do that, but it is a voluntary act, my dear brothers, and I was disturbed by hearing this, that these ministers will be getting paid to do street ministry on the streets of Minneapolis, not to mention the $200,000, $300,000 a year that I know they have made over the years, each year, from a poor, poverty-stricken community.
Mm. Good point. All right. Continue on. You have the platform.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling you, I am really worried and concerned. And I don't know what this community would do without the information source here at your Blog Talk Radio here and how you guys could care less what somebody thinks about you. It's about telling the truth.
Okay.
I shared with Mr. Edwards earlier to have a future and to raise up future leaders, we have to give them the truth. We cannot be fake and phony. Fake and phony and lies have gotten us to the place where we are right now in Minneapolis, right now, 25 years later, thousands, hundreds and hundreds and thousands, maybe millions of dollars later. The same people have done the same nothing for 25 years.
Yeah.
So now we have to. Might even be hated, Mr. Edwards, or disliked. Might be hated, Mr. Don Allen, my brother, for telling the truth to our people. Because we're trying to bring the truth to our youth and to our young people so that they can bring forth a new change that has not ever been here in the last 25 years. And it can only come through truth and honesty and love for a community and the betterment of our community. And it cannot be about who's going to get the next dollar. It's got to be about the saving the lives of our people so that we will have a future and that we one day we'll be able to bring forth change. And it has to come from us telling them the truth on this radio show, on the streets, in the schools, wherever we can go and speak this truth and give it to them, y'all. Because if not, we're going to see the same thing in the next 10, 15 years.
We may see it in the next, as far as the violence, we may see it in the next 10 days. Minister, I want to thank you for taking the, because I know it was a traumatic experience. The minister has not indicated it, but he also was maced to some degree, not as bad as some, but he was also maced, and he was attempting to save a young lady who, have said before, if it had not been for the police the macing and et cetera, I'm afraid she would not be with us. Minister, thank you again, and if you would, stay tuned. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. God bless you both.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Allen, any series of questions from you, as you heard the minister talk in terms of what was to have been a vigil, if you will, that turned into a situation where, unfortunately, bad information was provided. You have any specific questions of your colleagues? Because we're now going to get in into what the situation really is, what has in fact happened, and I have to say what the Minneapolis Police Department and community members have done just in the last, 48 hours.
Well, I'm very troubled. I really don't have any specific questions right now other than, you know, what's happening and why is this still going on and why are the same people, these names that we're hearing behind the scene in production and speaking with Minister Wilson earlier, are some of the same people that perpetrate some of this craziness in town. And he's right.
All right, let me go into what I saw that turned into another tragedy, if you will, at North Commons at probably approximately around 6:50, 6:55. And at one point we had as many as a half a hundred, at least 50 police officers. There had been a standby order. Sheriff's Department, State Highway Patrol were prepared to come in. Park Police and Minneapolis Police ultimately got it under control, and then older heads, if you will, people who understood the need to try to bring some order, some semblance of peace, began to become involved. By the way, the size of the crowd was probably just about 100 when the confrontation broke out. But here's what is troubling, and I'm not going to be able to fault the city, Don. I mean, I have to say that because they have to go according to what the law says and what procedure calls for. But I was a little disappointed that I saw individuals and I heard individuals really exciting the crowd, if you will, who were knowledgeable about the following had already happened. First of all, for community, the individuals involved in the tragic death and the circumstances surrounding the death of young Nehemiah Stevenson, who will be buried in Arkansas, knew that there were people that had turned themselves in and had already given statements by, let's say, 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The situation is this. A group of young men over the weekend celebrating what was the end of school, in one case, the graduation at one of our high schools, if you will. Another young man who was and I want to emphasize this for those that apparently are attempting to make it appear that they did not know the circumstances of the tragedy that culminated at 16th and Newton with a young man bleeding out, even though the initial surgery had revived him and everyone thought that he was going to survive, but there were circumstances, that medical circumstances that emerged, and we'll talk about that. But the situation started with the party bus, okay, now?
Okay.
And our young people have been going on the party bus and et cetera, and there are folks that have been certainly providing the party bus and taking youngsters back and forth to facilities and et cetera. And there are some folks who are by name tied into the party bus and et cetera. Normally the party bus, you know, picks you up at a specific location. In some cases, depending on who the sponsors are, the party bus will try to let you off as close as it possibly can to your home. This particular night, at least 7 to 8 young African-American men, all friends, I want to emphasize that, Mr. Allen, got off the bus and were preparing to go to their separate homes, which were all in close proximity, except for one young man who unfortunately and regrettably lived about 30 blocks from the site of where he was shot, if you will. During the course of their discussions, and I don't want to get too much into the authorities' investigation because it serves no purpose to injure that investigation. There's enough anger out there now. But during the course of it, there began a discussion that one of the individuals who had to go about 30 blocks to get back to his home was concerned because he really was not supposed to have been at the gathering. It was now like a little after 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay, he's 17 years of age. His home, his household has been a place of stability and et cetera. You know, mother, you know, indicates what it is that she expects. So he was told that, you know, by his associates, by his peers, that he could spend the night at the home of one individual who he's spent evenings there many times before. But he was concerned about what was going to be the reception at home and that he was going to have to walk this 30 blocks and that he was going to have to go through territory of a series of individuals, including one specific individual who just 5 days before had threatened his life, had threatened to kill him, if you will. And so the discussion turned to a weapon. There were, weapons available, if you will. Initially, first couple individuals said, nah, man, don't need to do that. You know, number one, you ain't no shooter. You know, you don't know how to handle a weapon and et cetera. But this young man was terrified of that 30-block walk, if you will, Mr. Allen, into the far northern ends of North Minneapolis. And so finally it was agreed, okay, somebody will give you a piece, if you will, a weapon. Unfortunately, contrary to, you know, to movies and et cetera, a lot of our young men, particularly in the age group of 15, 16, 17, 18, really don't know how to handle a weapon. You, as an example, Mr. Allen, are a veteran of the United States Armed Forces. You were taught, trained, if you will. Yeah. I've been a member of the National Rifle Association for many years, 50 years, in fact. And so, you know, there's training. You understand what you do. One of the things that you have to know is that when you're handling an automatic weapon, be it an assault rifle or a handgun, that with that goes what is called a magazine, a clip that contains anywhere from, 8 bullets to 70 to 100, you know, and that one of the things that you must always do after you have engaged the magazine, no matter how long that weapon has set or et cetera, that upon the pushing the release and dropping the magazine, you must do what we, as you know, Ms. Allen, called jacking the weapon off at least twice. And if you have a double magazine, you should do it at least 4 times and to make sure that there is no bullet in the chamber. Unfortunately, none of that was done. It was raining. Young man wanted to get on his journey and et cetera. They're fumbling with the weapon. The magazine, you know, comes off. They go to reaching, and the weapon discharged. Now, I don't think that the county attorney is going to indicate malice and forethought. Certainly the issue of carelessness is going to come into play, but, you know, that carelessness is predicated by the fact of people that aren't trained in using weapons, but because of the culture, that's the reason that they have them. One of the questions that the community needs to ask itself, you know, because these young men who surrendered yesterday to Minneapolis authorities at City Hall, you know, they've been accountable and taken full accountability for their actions or the actions that led to the death of a very, very, very dear friend. Why did this 17-year-old young man, bright young man, very, very, very popular, according to everyone that I've talked to, why did he feel it necessary, Mr. Allen, to need a gun?
Mm.
Why did he feel it necessary to be armed as he began his 30-block journey, his odyssey, if you will, his sojourn? What was it that had impacted this young man's life and he felt so threatened?
Mm-hmm.
My take is, Mr. Allen, the community is not prepared to ask that question per se and do anything about it.
No.
Okay?
No, no.
Somebody may ask it, but they're not prepared to do anything. What was the circumstances that caused this young man to be so threatened and to be so terrified that he felt, even though this man, young man, was not, quote-unquote, a gunslinger, that he felt the need to have a weapon? And what was it that brought about, you know, in some regards, such clumsiness, if you will, and et cetera, that a accidental shot was fired? But I maintain, and submitted maintain, the phone lines will be open. What was it that created such fear in this 17-year-old young man, a student at Edison High School? We heard his principal, Minister K.G. Wilson and myself, before the rioting confrontation, brutality broke out. His principal at Edison High School, she was in tears. I began to realize that, you know, statements that were being made, people did not know what had happened, if you will, had no idea. But there were some, maybe more than some, who should have been able to bring some level of accurate information to what was happening out there. And then when the attack came, you know, I'm concerned when I see people who are being compensated to have security personnel. I'm not talking about law enforcement, if you will, who are trained. I'm talking about people who get, as Minister K.G. Wilson said, who get compensated and have vehicles and, but more importantly, have men who say that they are part of security force, how they stood by and let the crowd, you know, bum rush this young, single, young lady, beat her into unconsciousness that was at such a level of brutality that not only did the police have to wade in, but as Minister K.G. Wilson pointed out, and this becomes crucial with respect to the protocol that the police have to use, and that is that police brought their riot guns in, okay? I mean, it was a situation where, you know, we were, you know, nose-to-nose, jaw-to-jaw, and you kind of were like, oh, hell, I hope that gun doesn't go off, okay?
Yeah.
But the police did what they are trained to do. They broke it up. The crowd did come back. They released some balloons that were in memorial of the young man, of Nehemiah, if you will, and his remembrance. But I have suggested in a conversation, and normally I don't do this, to the authorities that there has to be a press conference within at least the next 2 days held. They'd probably do well to do it tomorrow to inform the community of the circumstances, what happened, how it happened, and who the individuals were that were involved and what their relationship was to the deceased, because it was not hostile, their relationship with him. It was not ill-motivated, their actions that caused the young man's death, and there was not malice and forethought, okay? And these are things that at some point the community is going to have to be made aware of by the official investigative agency. If we don't get that, and I agree with Minister, I watched the crowd. We stayed on for probably about a half hour. You know, I had to leave to come do this broadcast. But there's a lot of anger because of the lack of information, the lack of knowledge, and et cetera, on the part of the masses, if you will. And so, and because of who the young lady was, what family she belonged to, and et cetera, unfortunately, there's going to be retaliation. I know that the group known as COI, under the leadership of Reverend Charles Yates and his people, are trying to counsel and et cetera. I know that a police officer went to the home of the young lady to inform her mother and relatives what had happened. It is not a good situation. It is not beyond repair, and I think that's important, Mr. Allen, so that people say that we're inciting and et cetera. But the leaders, the people that tell us that they're on top of these issues and can handle it and et cetera, they need to be, you know, on the stick right now. Okay,
yeah.
Because if not, we're going to have violence tonight. Now, the one saving grace is if we're able to get by this evening without any additional casualties and et cetera, I think that Reverend Yates and his people, joined by others, will be able to bring some sense of reasonableness and et cetera. So that's what has happened. You know, the death of the young man was accidental. I'm now breaking a specific confidentiality, but the medical examiner, actually Mr. Allen, had already said that before noon yesterday.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that this is incredible once the right information is distributed out to the people. And, you know, I wasn't unable to attend the vigil, but, you know, I wasn't. If I probably could, Mr. Evers, I wouldn't have, because the tension is really hot among the youth all across Minneapolis and the Twin Cities and St. Paul. And it's summertime. There are no opportunities. And, you know, I'm going to get on my social justice soapbox for a minute here. And, and you know, back when, you know, some of us were younger, we know we had jobs all summer long. We were too tired to be out in the streets, you know, at the end of the day. And these children are, I shouldn't call them children, these young people, they don't have any opportunities at all. And it's a shame. It's terrible. And this mayor, some people have taken to social media to call her Mayor Dodges, Betsy Dodges. Betsy Dodges. And I find that absolutely hilarious. And, you know, she's no Jackie Cherry Holmes and stuff like that.
Well,
but
let me say this, because what's important here is proactivism based on experience, because obviously we must lack a lot of experience amongst these leaders. You know, the night is still young. What these leaders need to do is get on the phone with each other. They know how to use the phone. They need to be placing a call right now to the chief of the department, to Janae Harto. They need to be asking for the chief, the head of homicide, the head of the criminal intelligence division, and most importantly, you know, the mayor, to meet with them as early as 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and make a decision on how much information they feel they can put out to alleviate some of this pain, stress, anger, and suspicion that is gripping this community right now. Failure to do that will cause a situation where, as a direct outgrowth of the violence this evening at about 10 minutes to 7, they're going to have to take some of that responsibility, and that's on their heads. I don't care what the council president or council members or et cetera who can't be heard from. I'm disappointed that we've not heard from Councilman Bong Yang since the shootings this weekend. You also have to remember that a young lady and a young man were shot at 10:30 in the morning from a moving car, if you will. In fact, some people at one point thought that this was all a part of some kind of retaliation and et cetera. The authorities have not at this point determined that had anything to do with it. One of the things that Minister KG did not say, and if he's still with us, feel free to give us a call back. There were many young men at his vigil. There were many young men at his vigil who knew what happened, but
yeah,
they were still undecided and in fear. Okay, but when some of them reached out to their parents, Mr. Allen, they were told to do the right thing, and they did it yesterday. They did it. They came in. They gave statements. They indicated their responsibility and culpability, if you will.
Am I still
here? The authorities are trying to deal with the issue of probable cause. Do we have a caller?
That is Mr. Wilson, who's still with us.
All right.
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. Mr. Wilson, you heard the statement that I made.
Yes, sir.
Is that consistent with your reflections and own thinking?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. People need to know that there is an opportunity God help us if we don't take it. Our leaders tell us that they have access, if you will, to the corridors of power. We don't have any representation on the city council. Of course, that's why many African Americans voted for this current city councilman in the 5th Ward, Bong Yang. I'm disappointed that we're not hearing anything from him, but I would expect that I will be told by somebody that he was in the mayor and the chief's office in a series of meetings at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, because, you know, I think that we're that valuable as black Americans. We're just as valuable and as important as anybody else. And if one does not see a proactive move to head off any further additional violence behind this tragedy, then it's just clear that they really don't care what happens to us.
I agree.
All right. I concur. Our phone lines are open. Our number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. If you have a comment, concern, question, or a topic, you know, give us a call. The phone lines are wide open. And, Mr. Edwards, you had mentioned something that was that we talked about last Wednesday, about this time, actually. I had asked you, was there ever a time when a group of African-American activists, black people concerned about a particular issue, you know, gathered together and walked in a room in a mayor's office, a governor's office, a city councilman's office.
A number of times, Mr. Allen, and yeah. Just cut to it, particularly in the late 1960s, after the disturbances of the 60s, many times I saw African-Americans in positions of responsibility. Maybe I'll stay away from the word leadership. Areas of responsibility, et cetera, heading up organizations. We certainly didn't have anywhere near the organizations that we allegedly have now. In fact, we didn't have probably as many ministers as we've got now. I know you appreciate that, KG. But yet, numerous times in the 1960s, I saw my community come together. I saw leadership step forward, and I saw them make demands. I saw them make politicians come to the table. I have to tell you, gentlemen, I'm betting right now, unfortunately, though I say it with great passion, that there will be nothing happening tomorrow morning. It will be business as usual. And on Thursday, I think that so-called leadership is supposed to meet at the Urban League to talk in terms of the retreat. You remember the retreat, gentlemen, and what they're going to propose. You know, I've said on this program a couple times, Mr. Allen, I've said it on my television program, websites, and et cetera, I didn't know that we had that much time. And after what myself and Minister K.G. Wilson witnessed out there this evening, it frightens me. I'm not a man that scares easy, but it frightens me. I saw a level of savagery, misguided, misinformed, and not understanding who it was they were attacking, but provided with significant misinformation. Now, again, I plead with the mayor of our city. I know that the three of us are not important human beings. I say that first and foremost, that are African Americans and et cetera. But God Almighty, for the safety and tranquility, first and foremost, of our city, but for our community, please step up to the plate. And in this situation, all that the community needs is a press conference and the police, the investigative entity, indicating that they are on top of this, and they have the information, and they're waiting for the county attorney to determine if there, in fact, is enough probable cause and what the degree of charge will be. See, people, leaders out here pretend that they know laws and facts and et cetera. KG and I have found out over a significant period of time that a lot of them really don't. You know what I mean? But for those that are dependent upon white folks and white lawyers and et cetera to help them understand the complexities of how a system works, pick up the damn phone and call your handler and say this is what the situation is, okay? But I know that if the mayor of this city and the chief of police and the head of the investigative unit, that's homicide, tell them what the situation is, I know they'll believe it. Maybe they don't believe what the three black men that are on this radio program are saying. Maybe they don't believe us, but I can tell you one damn thing. If they'd have been there at 6:50 this evening, it would have scared them to death.
So, Mr. Evans, I guess my next question as a form of critical thinking is, if they do not have a press conference, if they do not end up in the mayor's office tomorrow, why?
You know, only they can answer that.
Okay.
Because I know that if Minister K.G. Wilson, as an example, who is a street minister, if you will, doesn't apologize for that. I know that the Reverend Charles Yates, I know that community activist and organizer Jerome Copeland and their group COI will, if asked, will come to the table immediately, will make recommendations, make sure the kind of contacts come together. And one of the things that both Minister K.G. Wilson and I are very much aware of as we saw this thing evolve and the violence break out is that there needs to be immediate reconciliation.
Ooh.
Amongst the families immediately. Now, the family of the young men, of the young man specifically who stepped forward, who was a lifetime friend of the deceased, that request for reconciliation was rejected yesterday. And in fact, I was told in the presence of a organizer for COI that someone had told the Pacific family, I really don't want to go into the name at this point because there's so much tension, but that the family of the young man who has confirmed his involvement in this tragedy asked for reconciliation, asked for a meeting, and they were turned down.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's the level of tension that we're at. And I say it again, and I'm not over-dramatizing, emphasizing, and et cetera. I mean, Don, when you look at a situation where you see at least 40 people stomping and beating a young woman who was involved in none of this as it pertains to however one misreads or misunderstands the situation, this child had nothing to do with it, okay? And so when Minister Wilson says he's afraid, and I am too, that there will be retribution, there will be retaliation, but we may have enough time if these leaders, some who are well compensated by big white corporate foundations and et cetera, get up off their behind and demand a meeting with the mayor first thing tomorrow morning. All they have to do is to ask. If they want to close the meeting off, that's fine. I mean, I know they're big into only their quote-unquote kind can be president and et cetera. They're all omnipotent. That's great. But even if they close the door, at least allow and encourage the police department to give an update, Don. That's all we ask for,
okay.
Just an update.
And Mr. Edwards, I'm getting plenty of texts and some chat rooms.
Oh, I bet you are, yeah, right.
And I need to address something real quick here. There's a group of Caucasians that live over north, and they're part of a group called North Bend.
Yeah, but
okay,
the snakes.
Some of them are tuned in right now. And
uh-huh.
They don't understand the definition of a riot. In the definition of a riot, this was a riot, okay? That many people stomping one person like that, okay?
That's a lynch mob.
Yeah, you guys over there, you keep your white privilege, but while you saying, one of them said, oh, a balloon bust, and it's a riot, ha-ha. I said, you can keep that, because I'm going to tell you, when it comes to your front door, you could be hollering for help.
And it could come through your front door as early as tonight. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They can talk all that silly stuff that they like to talk. They can make all those mean-spirited statements about African-Americans, particularly young African-Americans, some who are deceased. I saw it really begin after the death of 14-year-old Gomez. Hey, they can play that game if they want. Mm-hmm. But I'm from the old school, baby. We're beyond being concerned about what they care. We're trying
mm-hmm.
to save our own. Okay? And they can come off with all that behind the scenes and those statements, because they're statements that I can make, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
wondering when white folks are going to start talking about all these white folks that are killing folks in massive numbers. When we're going to start talking in terms that obviously mental incompetence and instableness and et cetera must be a genetic fault within the character of white people, okay? Now, that's ridiculous, but if that's the game they want to play, then maybe we'll just maintain that every white person we see, we just take it to mean that they're mentally unstable and you put them down like you put a dog down.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the kind of
Edwards,
game. Go ahead.
Mr. Edwards.
Yes, sir.
I just want to reiterate on something to make it clear, because I kind of heard your big brother say how they jumped on this young woman. This was a young kid, a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
She was a young teenager still, so I don't want the people to feel like, okay, this was a grown woman. No, this was a young teenager.
Probably 16, no more than probably 17 years old.
Yep, that's right. You're right, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have to say, gentlemen, that whatever this North Point Grand, by the way, we our intelligence units know who these people are. We know where they reside. You know, they're not the only ones that know how to go in and monitor cyber and et cetera. But they're not someone that's important on my radar. You know what I'm saying? Because I've seen them and lived with them to the extent of their presence for many, many years. Okay? And just for those who are, you know, newcomers from the white community to the north side, I've lived on the north side of Minneapolis since 1945. Okay? I know how you think. I know how racism drives so many of you. I know the disregard you have for the importance of black life, black thinking, black intellect, and et cetera. But sometimes you maybe want to figure out that we think the same way on the other side of the ledger, on the other side of the aisle. And there's that kind of anger building. And so I'm trying to be a moderate, gentlemen, by saying leaders, call upon city officials to try to do the right thing, to defuse this thing before this becomes truly one of the most bloody summers since the summers of 1992 and 93. I mean, it's just that pure, man. I appreciate what you had said, Minister, early on. But a program like this is about telling the truth. Mm-hmm. We're not here to pacify, if you will. I can only speak for myself. I'm not looking for no contract, don't want no contract, and, in fact, in many respects, do not want relationships with most of those people. The ones that Mr. Allen is talking about, that they're texting like the cowards that they are. Mm-hmm. Pick up the damn phone. Have the intestinal fortitude to engage. But see, one of the things that I know is that they didn't have a clue about what really happened out there along the 1600 block of Newton Avenue North. Give that phone number again, Mr. Allen. Phone line's open, baby.
Phone line's wide open, 347-426-3904. Again, that number's 347-426-3904. And again, like Mr. Edwards said, the phone line is wide open. And it's just, you know, I mean, we're sitting here, and just for the facts, we have about 300 live listeners. We have about 25 people in a queue that don't want to say anything. I'm looking at all their phone numbers right here in front of me in the screen in Studio A. Mm-hmm. And as far as where they are listening from, we have 55411, 55411. 2-554-789-55104, which is St. Paul, Roseville, Stillwater, Rochester, Duluth, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, Florida, Denver.
Read it off, Don.
Yeah. Where else here? The U.K. That must be our friend.
That's the United Kingdom for those that don't know their geography. Yes, sir. Keep going.
We have South America. Exactly. Let me just tell you. I have to zoom into that, Mr. Edwards, because this is pretty deep. I'm going to tell you right now, okay, in Africa, Ghana, South Africa, Egypt, we have hits all worldwide right now on this particular broadcast. Up and down the West Coast from California to Vancouver, British Columbia, Toronto, Ontario, New York, Miami, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Tampa, St. Pete area, Mexico, East and West Coast of South America, Australia, the Philippines.
By the way, for those that don't know the geography, that means Brazil on one side and Chile, Ecuador, and Peru on the other. Look out now.
Yes, yes. And so I'm looking at up and down the Asian rim. We have I have 1, 2, 3, Japan, 5 hits, which means people, I don't know how long they tuned in for, but they was there. The former Soviet Union, there's one dot in the middle, and I don't know who has that, who's listening. Alaska, 2 in Hawaii. And you guys are listening. You can call in if you'd like. If we need to translate, we'll get someone on the phone to translate. But Minneapolis is turning into a hellhole, and our leaders aren't doing very much about it.
And let me say this. This always catches their attention because they're about money. This situation, and Minister Wilson, I think, laid it out very accurately and et cetera, this could very well spill over, and it could very well be a disruption for Major League Baseball week. I mean, they're expecting to make $174 million, you know, in hotel rates and fees and dinners and et cetera. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce is expecting to make big money, okay? But I tell you what, one of the things that disperses, and it was interesting to watch the reaction of the crowd. People were there with their children, babies. People see are funny. They're almost hypnotized when they see violence right in front of them. It takes individuals who are strong-minded, experienced, and et cetera, to at least try to move in. The police, that's their job. They're trained to do that, you know. But I saw people trying to move in. And, as I thought about it, I said, yeah, well, because here's what happened. It was interesting, that one text that you got. It was interesting that it was the explosion of one of the balloons that was the signal for the confrontation. And I think Minister Wilson will fully concur, because we both saw the action. I don't know if that was a signal. I don't know if someone thought there was a gunshot. But clearly it was a signal to attack this young lady. And as Minister Wilson has pointed out, I concur, as I watched her battered body laying on the ground, irrespective of what some of these folks on North Post, who, by the way, they're African-Americans on there too. But if that had been your daughter out there, I know you'd had a different opinion, buddy. And again, if it had not been for the police, I reemphasize that she may not have survived. She may have been beaten to death. Okay?
And can I add something to that?
Yes, sir.
I was, not only if it wasn't for the police to be out there with this young teenage sister would have survived, there probably would have been some other casualties, because the mob would have broke out in a free-for-all. It would have broke out in a free-for-all with the different groups going against each other, because it was coming to that point.
Yes, it was.
It came to that point before some of the elders, which is you, Ms. Edwards, some of the other community leaders, and even parents that were there with their children were trying to just figure out, how do we stop this mob who just ran to this one particular place in the grass from off of the concrete basketball court where it started at.
It
escalated all the way over to the
green
grass
tank, if you will. Yeah,
he drove her over to the grass.
And Mr. Edwards, if I would be remiss to do this, because I'm just overwhelmed by the switchboard. You see me over here going crazy.
Yes, I do.
We're talking about this, I need to welcome Beijing, China, Dalton, Georgia, White Plains, New York, Duluth, Georgia, San Paulo, Brazil, Macon, Georgia, Birmingham, Alabama, Circle Pines, Minnesota, Nashville, Keeler, Texas, West Des Moines, Iowa, Brazil, Dallas, Texas, San Francisco, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Divide, Colorado, not Denver, Divide, Colorado, been there, Redmond, Washington, Wilhelmina, Oregon, Atlanta, Georgia, Rochester, Minnesota. All tuned in.
Yes. Well, like I said, it was a sad occasion. In this case, you're talking to a guest who we have on, Minister K.G. Wilson, who is involved in street ministry and, of course, the co-host of this program. We're not talking about something we heard. Minister Wilson and I were there. We saw it. And, in fact, I've seen too many of these. I saw a situation a decade ago in which I saw a reporter from Channel 9 knocked unconscious, and I saw a police officer pinned up, and if it had not been for, you know, a civilian, if you will, he probably would have drawn his weapon and then in return would have probably been killed, as he was surrounded by a crew of at least 75 to 80 young black men in that situation in North Minneapolis, and they would have outgunned him and et cetera. I've seen other kinds of situations, and I've seen the anger of mobs, if you will, and I'm telling you, brothers, it's not something that's pleasant, if you will. And I repeat again, and I was certainly sorry to see the injuries, if you will, of community activist Alfred Flowers, like I said, Mr. Flowers, maced, and actually as quiet as it's kept, both Minister Wilson and myself probably got some samples of the macing. But it was not anything police intentionally did. They had to do it, man, in order to preserve the safety and possibly the life of a young African-American young lady who had nothing to do with any of the things, really, that these folks were talking about. And I say this again to our listening audience. I'm really disappointed at how many folks were talking and ranting and raving who I know had been made aware in the last 24 hours of what really happened.
Yeah,
I just
I agree, sir.
Yeah, I don't know what they thought the motivation was. I don't know if they were, if they thought that they could make a killing, financial killing off of a confrontation and conflict. Because, see, there were overall, there were probably 250 to 300 people in that park. There were 100 people just around the truck, a little over 100, but you see you also had a baseball game going on, you had a softball game going on, and you probably had 50 or 60 young black men on the basketball court there. Do you think that that's an accurate description, Minister?
Yes, sir.
You probably had a grand total of at least 300 folks out there. And as I said before, at one point in time we could hear the sirens. I counted approximately 30 police vehicles. And, you know, let me say this too, Mr. Allen. Anytime you see a police officer, and I have been a monitor for the Department of Justice, for this department, anytime you see police officers find it necessary to pull out their riot guns, you got a problem.
Yes.
Okay. These folks in North Minneapolis who like making fun of the injuries and death of black people, they better understand that at some point in time something may get to the place where they won't have any protection. I'll give that number again, because Mr. Allen, I think we're pretty much coming to the end unless we decide to go a little bit over. But
we
I guess you got a lot of people trying to figure out, oh man, do these guys know what they're talking about? Yeah, we know what we're talking about.
We have a caller. Let's get this person on. Let's see who this is.
All right. And let's go over if we necessary, Mr. Allen. If we need to go five or 10 minutes, let's do it. Go ahead, caller. You're on.
Am
I on? This is Lisa Ronadon.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, Ms. Clemens, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I first want to thank you, Ron, for helping facilitate the young man who called on his own to turn himself in. And I think it's important that people know this was an accident. I'm not taking anything away from the mom who's grieving. She has all my prayers. But this was an accident, and these kids were all best friends. I think what Mad Dads did was so irresponsible, to stand there and shout and holler, and if you know who did this, you need to turn yourself in, or anybody else that was out there saying that. I thought that was so wrong and so irresponsible, and I believe that is what created the fight where they jumped that little girl like that. I'm just disgusted right now.
And by the way, let me say, for the purpose of clarity, absolute clarity, that this person who was speaking was right there on the scene, was probably 10, 12 feet away when the attack broke out. So we're not talking about some folks that just got a telephone call from some friend who said they heard from a friend who heard from a friend who heard from a friend. We're talking about people that were on site.
And I know, you know, it should have been publicized that these kids did. We asked these kids, if you know who did it, come forward. These kids did just that. Their mothers came with them, at least in one case. The boy's mother came with them. Ron, you know, we sat down there with them all morning. And
yes,
I think it's important for people to know that the young man passed on Sunday. My prayer's still going. The kid was ready to go downtown Monday. The time got really late, and we ended up facilitating, well, Ron Edwards did, facilitating us bringing him down early Tuesday morning. Mad Dads, the families, everybody knows that. But you made that crowd of people believe that nobody knew who did this, and it was an accident. I think that's important for people to understand. It was an accident between friends.
All right. Thank you.
But I thank you
thank
for the
Ms.
time
Clemens.
And allowing me to talk. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Yeah. you know, we're at a real delicate stage here, gentlemen, particularly Minister Wilson and myself and this last caller. And there are other folks that I know are in the queue and et cetera, that they were out there. There are some that I could name. I just won't say anything. I just think that there needs to be some explanation on why that kind of information that this caller just talked about was being conveyed and the correct information to a crowd in which probably 90% of the people were uninformed, okay? But why you did that and allowed that to happen, okay? Because now we have crisis on our hands. Because there's, as I was talking, I've got a number of texts that they're saying there will be a retaliation, and that it's being planned. It's going to be carried out. We're going to have all kinds of gunfire across the city tonight.
Oh wow, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. All right, Minister, we want to thank you. If you're still with us, we want to thank you for taking time out from your schedule and the emotions of what we saw a couple hours ago to share your observation. And we want to thank a caller who had the presence and commitment to call in and say, this is what I saw, this is what was a part of some irresponsible actions, if you will. We appreciate that. Okay. What do we got, Mr. Allen? We are prepared to wrap it?
Yeah, we're prepared to wrap it. We're in recording mode right now, so we're prepared to wrap it. We'd like to thank everybody for listening.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.